can blaze the lettuce up. For the darker days ahead of us, it's to our benefit to protect the innocent, but lack of proper etiquette entertains the predators. You see that the media's been deceiving us. I mean, it's like something's waking the evil up.
Hey, Patrick Wilkins here, host of Festy Sounds, sitting in the studio with guys of Naughty Professor and Charlie Tuna of Jurassic 5, gearing up for a hell of a show tonight at 1904. Can't wait. You guys are no stranger to Jacksonville, Naughty Professor. You guys have played here several times, and Charlie, you have as well, let alone how many times you guys have played at Swanee. You know, that's kind of our second home that we like to consider that here. So thank you guys for taking some time to speak with us. We truly appreciate it. We can't look, you know, we can't wait for the show tonight. That's going to be a hell of a show, of course.
We're super excited.
So, Naughty Professor has, you know, worked their way through the ranks of funk music, born and bred out of New Orleans, essentially the home of funk is, I don't know where else you could put that. But you guys have definitely made your ranks from the time y'all started in 2010 to where you guys are now. How has New Orleans and like growing, you know, like growing as a band in New Orleans, how have those musical influences helped create y'all's unique sound?
I think a big part of living in New Orleans that has benefited us is the very welcoming community of musicians that existed there before we got there. It's really... embraces new artists in a way that is really encouraging, and I think all of us were attracted by those qualities, and that's why we went there. So just the scene itself and the attitude that new musicians get like coming in was a big part of what launched us into what we're doing right now.
Now, you guys all got together at Loyola, which is obviously in New Orleans, which, you know, as musicians, did you guys, were y'all drawn to New Orleans for school, you know, for the musical influences? Was that something that, you know, drawed y'all there? Were there other influences that brought you to Loyola? Like, how'd you guys come about?
So we were all attracted to the city for sure. I mean, the music, the culture, the people, the food, everything. But the school itself that we went to, I mean, that was a great meeting place for us. I think it happened because after Katrina, there was a lot of rebuilding going on. And the school was rebuilding as well. They were giving out scholarship money, you know, and we were all coming in eager. We were applying to the big name schools, you know, like NYU and Berkeley and Boston and stuff
Juilliard,
like that.
Those big schools.
But we kind of landed at this Jesuit university. Not that any of us were necessarily drawn to that, but it was just kind of a, what am I trying to say here? They, I don't know. We were just lucky to get some scholarship money, and because we were all, you know, hot shit in high school and came to college and came together real quick. You know, we kind of formed the band the first week we moved to New Orleans.
So you guys met off rip then? Like it was a match made in heaven, right off rip. Let's start making music type thing.
Very storybook. Yeah.
Romantic storybook. If you were to
romantic.
Go there.
The lighting in the practice rooms was really damn. It was nice.
It smelled like sweaty jazz musicians.
Which is all you want to smell if you're recording a live album, to be honest with you guys. You know what I mean? Like, if you guys are recording an album, Sweaty Jazz Musicians is the place that I'm trying to be. Y'all's latest album, Identity, features a ton of collabs. One of whom, Charlie Tuna, who's sitting right here with us, is included quite a bit. How have these collaborations helped shape y'all as a band as well? You know, I mean... 2013, was it 13, 14, you guys came out with your first album? And, you know, 2017, you guys have seen the growth up to 2017. How has, you know, bringing in these other influences helped create y'all's unique sound?
Well, that's a good question.
It's open-ended for a reason.
I mean, I think in a way, like, I would say we somewhat had our current sound before doing the collaborative album, but doing it allowed us to like go down some paths that we couldn't go down without guests, especially like with some of the vocalists, to make some simpler, more like pop sounding music that wouldn't really work in a totally instrumental context.
Such as Stray with David Shaw.
Exactly. Perfect example. And that was really fun to, because we all listen to a bunch of different music. We don't just listen to heady jazz shit. So it was really awesome to be able to explore some different stuff, make some like simpler, you know, like tracks like Sugarcoat that we did with Charlie that was like, you know, a very simple groove, unlike stuff that we usually do instrumentally ourselves, you know.
Charlie, how did you relate to these guys? You know, as they reach out, you've got a couple of tracks on Identity, and you know, now you guys are touring together. What was it about these guys that drew you to their music?
What drew me to them is their razor sharpness. These guys are like serious musicians. It's not just, oh, you know, dude, I can play a horn, and you know, I can play, let's make a band. No, these dudes really believe in what they do and are assassins in their chosen fields, in my opinion, you know what I'm saying? And I'm all about rolling with people like that, for sure, you know what I'm
saying?
Well,
you're an assassin MC.
Hey, you said it, I didn't, I appreciate it.
It kind of brings me to my next topic of discussion. How has, you know, playing in front of these guys allowed you to explore your solo exploration of hip-hop? You know, you've had so much throughout the years with Jurassic 5. You've had that, you know, that sense of accomplishment. But I feel since, you know, you've embarked on this solo career, you've re-blossomed into the solo hip-hop star that you are. Mm-hmm. How has playing with these guys helped explore that solo hip-hop that you've been looking for?
I'm all about pushing the boundaries, man, for myself and trying to challenge myself at all times. You know what I mean? I feel like if you, they say a comfort zone is beautiful, but nothing ever grows there, if you're feeling what I'm saying. So it's like I'm stepping out with my weapon out.
The weapon being the mic, ladies.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, that's really what it is. It's just like testing yourself, seeing what you do. I mean, even going beyond hip-hop, you know, hip-hop being a genre, of music as well as a cultural way of life, it was my guide, my cue, my line to walk, you know what I mean? For me to learn my skill, but then I'm able to take that skill and put it into different genres and things like that. And that's where I have my most fun. I really do. Big up to all the fellas at Jurassic 5. Then you got to step out to people like the cats from Ozo Motley. That was the strangest thing I had done at the time. And it just kept, it raised the bar for me to just continuously try to do something way more crazier than the next. And these guys are like amazingly crazy, and I appreciate it.
You know? How do you find those influences? Because you're absolutely right. I mean, everything you've done, even from the J5 days, you know, through Ozo Motley and everything like that, how are you constantly finding influence to bring to a new record, to bring to a new track, to bring to a new beat?
Ah, man, the grace of God, man. I mean, honestly, just, you know, everything around me is a topic. Everything around me is an issue. Everything around, you know, we live in America, man. Hey, if you really want to look, put a microscope, you can talk all day for the rest of your life about, you know, the troubles and the ills and, you know what I'm saying, as well as the beauties. You know what I mean? It's topics out there. There's nothing that can stop you from finding something to talk about, so to speak, especially me. Like, I feel like I'm just a vessel, and I'm trying to, like, filter everything that just poured into it so it can pour into you. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just happy to be able to continuously be relevant in some form or fashion. And I think in the beginning, it was on purpose that I was trying to do that. But now I think I set the snowball in motion where the snowball is just rolling and I'm riding. You know what I mean? So it's just that.
So are you kind of finding, you know, new avenues and new influences as that snowball continues to pick up snow down the hill?
Yeah, it's passing places I've never been before, you know what I'm saying? And around things that I've never seen, you know what I'm saying? So I'm meeting people like these brothers, you know what I'm saying? Big up to Ben Elman from Galactic for me knowing this guy.
Yeah.
Seeing the Naughty Horns, and then next thing you know, we're in this room with you. So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm constantly looking for inspiration, and I haven't been, unhappy, like, not finding it. I've been finding it everywhere, so it's just beautiful to me.
It's kind of like the snowball rolls down the right hill, essentially, yeah. And it finds the influences along the way. I read something, doing prep for this interview, that you guys, when it came to the Identity album, was that, these aren't just collabs. These are people that we truly respect. You know, you've got Ivan Neville, you've got David Shaw, you've got Charlie Tuna. What's it like to know that, you know, Charlie Tuna's there waiting for you. You know what I mean? Like, you guys have garnished the respect of these people that you respect for them to easily say, absolutely, let's lay down that track.
To me, as far as that goes, it was all about trust. It was the band trusting the guests that we were bringing in, that they were going to do their thing and, you know, be able to like bring something to the table that's going to be true to them and also elevate the sound of the band. And, I guess, yeah, it was us trusting them to do that and then them trusting us to kind of bring it as well and be able to just kind of like show up in the studio. And I mean, some of them we kind of did the day of in the studio. Like we did all the prep work. Others, we were collaborating, like, you know, for a while to write a bunch of the music ahead of time. But whatever the case was, it was all about like trusting each other and letting it just kind of happen naturally, like letting everybody do their thing and bring their voice to the record.
And Charlie, back at you. What's it feel to know that these guys respected you and held you in the light that was like, damn, these guys want to write music with me? Like, let's make this happen because I got the same feelings for you guys. Like, right. What's that mutual feeling like when you walk into a room?
It's amazing, man. I'm always amazed. Once again, man, I'm damn near 50 years old, man. I'm always amazed that I'm still, you know, like you said, trusted in bringing some heat. You know what I mean? Like, people really still want to hear stuff that I'm doing. And I'm amazed at that at all times. So what I'm going to keep doing as much as I possibly can is just try to keep bringing the heat, you know. But I think that I'm definitely you know, grateful and enamored by the fact that these dudes really want to, you know, work with me for real. Like, I'm like, word, that's dope. I feel cool, too, because, man, all of these dudes are, like, the same age as my son. And that,
they're keeping you cool.
Yeah, it bugs me out. And, you know, I forget about that until we start talking about age. And I'm like, oh, damn, that's right. You know what I mean? So it's just a beautiful thing, man, all the way around the board. I'm really happy that this can continue like this. I'm glad that I got a job that I love. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people
We talked about that humility earlier.
That's real.
Talked about that. Y'all's latest album, Identity, was recorded live with everybody in studio, as opposed to, you know, recording different takes and stuff like that. How has that helped y'all on the road when it comes to the overall, you know, performance with bands and stuff like that? Is it giving you more of a sense of like oneness because you guys knocked it out of the park immediately once y'all recorded the album? Like, how's that helped you guys out?
Well, I think it kind of plays to a different point that, like, as a band, like, we love working in the studio, but what we're all about is playing live. And, like, you know, just like that's where the energy from our group comes from. So we kind of realized that going into the studio, we need to, how's the best way to represent us? We got to do it live. We got to all play, you know, the energy is going between us, between the guests. That's so important to our sound, I think. And so I don't think we ever were going to get in and like make a cookie cutter pop album and then like have trouble replicating it at the show, because we just don't.
You guys don't go through rehearsal cutter pop. You know what I mean?
Well, no, so, but like,
or cookie cutter funk for that matter, either. You know, you guys are very unique.
Right on, thank you. But we learn the music through rehearsals. So in that sense, the six of us in the room, if it doesn't sound good with the six of us, we're not going to move on. So it makes a lot of sense to record it that way.
Charlie, was it easy? Just like you know, just walking into booth with them playing live, were you able just to lay the bars down like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a trip with Sugarcoat, and it was, let's go back to Darker Days. When we did Darker Days, it was like they sent some tracks to me, just, you know, little scratch things, not even like full-fledged anything, really. I think they probably worked a couple of the changes out here and there, but for the most part, just demos. And I was just like, yo, that's dope. That's dope. And you know, we just kind of like shot it back and forth until the song actually came out. But what was cool was to be able to come down to New Orleans, them already like working out the arrangements in the studio as I'm writing the song, you know, like you were saying, like you know, right then and there, spontaneous type of thing. And that to me was just amazing. It's always dope to be able, in my opinion, to come up with the stuff right then and there. I think you capture a feeling there that you don't capture if you overthink it. You know what I mean? But sometimes, though, you know, overthinking the track make it that much sicker. So I don't know. These two particular tracks that we did, in my opinion, came out sick.
Sugarcoat and Darker Days are very right hot tracks on that album, I got to tell you. Thanks. Along with all of them. I mean, the whole album to me is something that I've listened to since the day it came out. And it's great to see, you know, you guys coming to fruition with Charlie on the road. You know, to hear those, you know, the David Shaw lyrics, it really, you know, as you were mentioning, like, allowed you to travel down a path that we normally wouldn't have, because that was that missing element of the track. So yeah, that hook is sick, but what are we missing? A voice like David Shaw to give it that uniqueness. How has that allowed you guys to appreciate, you know, constantly? I mean, obviously you're constantly gaining influences, but as you reach to guess, how is being able to follow down that path, how's that allowed you to create a comfort zone within you guys as well? You know what I mean? Like, oh, we can put faith in these people, you know, and they're going to make this track the way that it should. Has that allowed y'all to kind of put faith in everybody else as well?
I think we carefully choose our collaborations. I don't think we're necessarily 100% just going to ever put our faith completely in someone without having a reason to. And we certainly didn't going into this album. These are people that we knew about, that we knew how they had worked. So really, the biggest thing that I think it communicated from the band is that we're open to collaboration and we're willing to go in whatever direction any other collaborators want to go in. And I think that was the big, like, successful message to the industry that we sort of simultaneously delivered with the album, is that we're willing to collaborate and we're willing to go wherever, you know, as long as it's a symbiotic musical creation.
New Orleans is no stranger to incredible acts. They are home to historic venues. Charlie, I follow you on Instagram. Follow him at Charlie_Tuna. You just flew in from Panama. What's it like to come back to the States in day one, play, you know, a pretty intimate club like 1904 with guys that you're tight with? You know, obviously you've been overseas now and you're coming back to work, essentially. How's that transition for you?
It ain't really no transition at all, to be perfectly honest with you. If you just, like, look at the whole thing as a big picture, you know what I'm saying? I being in Jurassic, right, we used to always say this, man, you know, we don't care if it's 8 people or 80,000 people, we're going to get the same show. You feel me?
So I'll tell you.
It's that mentality, man, for real. It's like we can come in an intimate room, or we can go to a festival, and it's just like stupid seas of people, and you're still going to feel the same, you know, if not better sometimes in the intimate shows, because it's like you're right there, right, and you can relate, you know, with eye contact. Right. But I mean, you know, for me, it's like the biggest way to look at it is to look at the whole thing, which is that it's not really different. We still trying to deliver this artistic message that we got within us to, you know, a crowd of people, whether it's like that big or that big, you know what I mean? So it's all good to me. Yeah.
And guys, Naughty Professor, y'all did not fly back from Panama. You guys drove from New Orleans to Orlando and then drove back to New Orleans for a night to drive back to Jacksonville. How do you guys find, you know, that, I mean, aside from the 5-hour energy, how do you guys find that, like, you know, sponsor plug, what's up, 5 hours, sponsor this 50 sounds, sponsor this 50 sounds. How do you guys find that drive? I know, Nick, we were talking, you know, my sympathy level for you guys is very little because you guys get to play music every night and do what you love, but it's tough, you know what I mean? It's got to be tough to find that energy. How do you guys do that?
Well, we're excited to play with each other. Like, not only excited to, like, be playing with Charlie. It's not every day you get to play with Charlie Tuna, you know? And that's sick. And then, right at the same time.
Charlie Tuna, yes!
Yeah. But at the same time, like, we're all excited about each other as musicians. And, like, coming from, you know, coming from different places, and we all get in the same room, and hopefully we're all excited to be playing with each other. And if we are, it's going to be a fun show. And like, there's just, I think, a lot of mutual respect all around, and that I think that helps it stay fresh and exciting. Is that you're actually interested in what somebody's going to say during their solo tonight, or like how somebody's going to play a line, or like some inside joke in some small part that nobody's going to notice. It's like, it's all these like really little things that keep it really interesting from a night to night basis. We're playing the same songs, you know? So,
right. Kind of brings me right into my next topic of discussion. Obviously, you know, you got a couple tracks on Identity. I've never seen you guys together. What can someone expect from a Naughty Professor and Charlie Tuna show? Do we have, I mean, we got Charlie freestyling on the mic while y'all are just improvising. Obviously, we got some, definitely we're going to play the tracks that you guys are on together. But like, what can we expect, or what can our listeners expect when they see Naughty Professor and Charlie Tuna?
Extreme musicianship and a hell of a fun time, man. It's just simple as that, you know? I try not to go nowhere without bringing, you know, my my track listing, so to speak. But, and these guys play it well, no question. But, I mean, just really more than anything, it's just about, like, just having some fun, man, because that's what this is all about, you know what I mean? Having some fun and being able to, within that fun, you know what I'm saying, an exchange of ideas and, you know what I'm saying, you know, mind states, thoughts, mentalities, whatever you want to call it, you know what I'm saying? I just think that the music itself is such a large language. It's bigger than anything we speak, anything we think. You know, for me to be in Panama talking English and, you know, translating, you know, regular American ideas to these, you know, I'm just saying definitely. That music is huge. And that being said, it's all about us trying to make these people have some fun. And they say fun is infectious. If I'm going to smile at you, eventually you're going to smile back. Unless something wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? So, man, that's just us, man. Trying to make people have fun.
I don't think I could think of any better parting words than that right there. It's just music is fun. You know what I mean? And in the minute that it's not fun anymore for the musicians on stage or for the people in the crowd, then you need to reevaluate things. And it's good. It's refreshing, you know, to hear you guys truly express a sense of unity and express a sense of interest in what each and every one brings to the table. And, you know, a lot like, you know, United States is a country, we're going through a ton of shit, but music is a melting pot. It's full of influences. And it's really refreshing to hear you guys, you know, really take something from each and every person at the table and then create your own masterpiece out of it. And I applaud you guys for that. You know,
thanks.
I can't applaud you guys enough. You know, like it's really refreshing to hear that. I'm going to leave it at that just because those words are perfect, man. Those words are perfect. I can't thank you guys enough for taking some time to speak with me.
Thanks for having us.
For coming on Festy Sounds. Can't wait for you guys to crush it at 1904 tonight. If you're listening to this a couple days later and you didn't go to the show, you missed out. That's all I'm going to say. I apologize for you. Tickets are still available at the door. Go get them. Thank you guys so much. For Charlie Tuna, Naughty Professor, I am your host, Patrick Wilkins of Festy Sounds, and I am out. Thank you guys so much.
The first man you learn to love is your father, but a small percentage are exempt from this equation. Searching for the personalities that are stronger, looking for the role models to fit for this occasion. Such is the case in the place where I originated. You'll face defeat if you beef and get refrigerated. Inundated with critics, very opinionated. The timid hate it cause they're easily intimidated. I was a midget and I hadn't faced puberty yet. Pops vanished and I would truly regret. I soon that he left my moms, I hadn't faced maturity. Your lack of examples are seeds for insecurity. I had to search for the spot filler, the pimps, pushers, and the block killers, the senators and mayors and the cops. They were not with us, would have been dope, but I was attracted to folks with the sugar coat.
Keep it on the real, no sugar coat.
Yeah.
with admiration for the underworld. I had no patience for the bigger fish that run the world. Father was absent since my sister was a younger girl. Looking for validation, I had but one referral. The street pharmacist secretly selling sedatives. Industry targets that frequently sell that shit to your kids. The peddlers of the oldest profession, pushing punani to the lonely with no parental discretion advised. Not embarrassed to embrace certain character traits, and now I'm learning from my parents' mistakes. Apparently stakes are high in this delicate charade. I'm like an elephant parade. Yeah. March and torch the finish line. You can't diminish my attributes and bend it till the end of time. And now I'm strong enough to pull the boat, because I'm looking for the truth and not the folks that will sugarcoat.
Keep it on the real.
An explanation is in order here. Clarification cleans the mud and makes the water clear. People whose motives are sugar-coated better beware. This is for the poor and full of fear who can't afford a prayer. They say a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, but it also helps to keep the predators around. And if you don't have a strong role model to aspire to pursue, the dark desires can distort your entire view. And since candy attracts children, hustle the sweet talk to expand and relax feeling. Stand in the back chilling, how animals act, waiting their plan of attack. Kill them soon as you act complacent. I'd hear them dribble grammar with the gift of gab and argue. They put the chisel and hammer, I was the slab of marble. Impressionable, but never ignore my morals, cause what is good to you may not be good for you. Sugarcoat.